Welcome to the God's Word portion of the worship from Daleville Christian Church. We begin with a reading from the Psalms, Psalm 51, and it's important for our purposes to note Psalm 51. It says, it's a psalm of David when the prophet Nathan came to him after David had committed adultery with Bathsheba. You may recall this report in the Old Testament. Nathan the prophet had to tell David, explain to David, because he wasn't facing his sin in the affair with Bathsheba, which included an accessory to murder, basically. And Psalm 51 comes out of that episode in King David's life. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Hide your face from my sins, blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. We have an affirmation of our faith that we share each week, and this one from Titus in the third chapter. When the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. Not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. The reading of God's Word for today is from the Apostle Paul's letter to the churches in and around the city of Rome, in the 8th chapter, the 5th through the 11th verses. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God, does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. There is such a thing as spiritual reality. We've talked about this. To put it another way, what we call reality is what we can see, hear, touch, taste with our senses. But that does not give us a complete picture of reality. As I remind people at every funeral that I conduct, God's word says that God made us all. God made everything. Jesus said that God knows us so well that the hairs on our head are numbered. The Lord God knows us that well. And I remind folks that all earthly life has within it an expiration date. We must all die. God's word reminds us there's a time to be born and a time to die in the book of Ecclesiastes. But despite this being part of God's plan, and we are part of the plan, this does not make death easier to deal with. But God has made us more than creatures that live and die. God has made us with body and spirit. The body God intends to live briefly on the earth, but the spirit God has intended should live with him forever, if we want to, in and through Jesus Christ, our Lord. I hope you're following all of this. All of us have experienced the death of a loved one. Their bodies expired, but we were made body and spirit. That's why our Lord Jesus came to give us new life. Jesus said, "Those who believe in me, yet though they die, yet shall they live." Jesus said, "Whoever believes in me shall have life eternal." John's Gospel. Many people find it very easy to believe only in what they see. Physical life. I took some time in a used bookstore a couple of months ago to read a book by an atheist. I wondered why he was so set on his atheistic outlook. And just reviewing a few pages, it was obvious. The man didn't believe in anything he couldn't see. He simply denied spiritual life, spiritual existence, a spiritual world in which we all partake, in which we participate, whether we know that or not. Now, is there a problem denying spiritual existence? Well, there are just some things that you cannot explain in this life without understanding spiritual existence. But that isn't what this sermon is about. You and I know spiritual reality. You and I have had spiritual experiences. The author of the hymn Amazing Grace, John Newton, wrote the words, "I understand," based on his spiritual experience of a dream. Can you see a dream? Usually you don't see a dream with your eyes open. I've had dreams that have caused me physical responses, labored breathing, or my arm striking out. But my eyes were closed and I was lying in my bed. I'm certain of a reality that is not available to our physical eyes or senses. The Apostle Paul was also a man of spiritual experiences. I read a scholarly paper once suggested Paul was a spiritual person before Jesus met him on the road to Damascus. One might argue that only a spiritual person or a person aware of spiritual reality could even have such an experience. That atheist author I mentioned, if he'd had Paul's experience, he might have seen a bright light and heard something. But that would be it. The atheist could not have known it was Jesus speaking to him, appearing to him. The atheist does not have eyes to see or ears to hear. How many times does our Lord Jesus say, "Those who have eyes, let them see"? Matthew, Luke, Mark. Jesus asks the question, having eyes, do you not see? Sometimes I think that scholars misunderstand the Apostle Paul in several places in Paul's letters because first and foremost, the Apostle Paul was a spiritual man. Paul had spiritual experiences that many did not have and never had. Like speaking to Jesus and hearing Jesus in the Spirit. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthian churches, "What I deliver to you, I receive from the Lord." Paul had visions of the third heaven, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul even confesses that Paul couldn't be sure in this spiritual experience whether it was in the body or not. So Paul has seen and heard and done things through the Holy Spirit that most of us have not done. Therefore, Paul speaks of things and uses words, spiritual words. Paul speaks in ways we may not get, we might not understand. That doesn't make Paul smarter or more powerful, but it does make Paul more spiritually experienced than you or me. If you've discerned spiritual messages in your dreams at night, then when you have dreams, you know that they are never about things you've actually seen or places you have actually been to. And if people tell you dreams, if you've had spiritual experiences, you don't hear those dreams like they saw them. It doesn't make you smarter, as we usually use that word. It makes you discerning. I guess that's why we have the word wise. Didn't Joseph, of the many-colored coat, interpret Pharaoh's dream in a way that Pharaoh never thought about when he saw cows coming out of the Nile River? Dream wasn't about cows. And yet, he saw them in his dream. Wisdom is a quality, not an amount. And wisdom is humble, not boastful. James 3:13. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good life let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. A spirit of gentleness. So part of what I mean by all this is that the Holy Spirit doesn't make you higher or smarter. The Holy Spirit, if you're in touch with the Holy Spirit, will make you spiritual. I could say that the Holy Spirit doesn't elevate you in the church. The Holy Spirit only brings you up to everyone else's level in the church because everyone in the church has the Holy Spirit. If a pastor or any church member says, "I have the Holy Spirit," your response is, "So has everyone in the congregation." Shall we practice that? I have the Holy Spirit. So has everyone in the congregation. So has everyone in the congregation. And the Holy Spirit dwells where? But in the body. The Holy Spirit dwells in your body, and the Holy Spirit dwells in the body of Jesus. And what is the body of Jesus but the church? What is the body of Jesus but the church? The Apostle Paul always believed that spirits have to have bodies. Spirits cannot exist on earth without a body, which explains several things in the New Testament. 21st century people often don't trust the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the Spirit is spiritual, not rational. Jesus said, "The Spirit blows where it will." That's not rational. We need to talk about our relationship with the Holy Spirit. And of course, we know Americans are not very good at relationships. It makes the news every day. Every day in this country, news of relationship problems. Again, 21st century people aren't sure that they trust the Holy Spirit. Experiences of the Holy Spirit get paired with words like ecstatic or euphoric or overcome or mysterious. What John Wesley described as the heart strangely warmed. And even when John Wesley's heart was strangely warmed, he did not speak in tongues, and John Wesley did not get slain in the Spirit. But John Wesley felt the presence of the Holy Spirit. As I mentioned, dreams are more often a spiritual picture. The dream means something different than what it is showing you. But we are all called to live and walk and be sanctified by the Holy Spirit and renewed in the Holy Spirit, Titus 3. Paul's words today, live according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. There are plenty of references to the Holy Spirit in the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, before Jesus and after Jesus. I remind you that the Holy Spirit is a person. People can lie to the Holy Spirit, and they can resist the Holy Spirit. King David would have to be an example. It's possible to deny the Holy Spirit. The New Testament uses over one dozen word pictures to describe the Holy Spirit. Dove, wind, fire, seal, S-E-A-L. The Holy Spirit works in more than one way. I have all the Bible references for you. The Holy Spirit's a good gift. Holy Spirit's a teacher. Holy Spirit's a reminder. Holy Spirit's a counselor or a helper. The Holy Spirit is comfort or encouragement. Holy Spirit's a revealer, a revelation. The Holy Spirit renews. The Holy Spirit sanctifies, is sanctifying. The Holy Spirit directs, it leads, it moves. The Holy Spirit speaks. I'm not giving you this list so that you can take a quiz later. I'm giving you a list so that you understand the Holy Spirit is available to you in more than one way for more than one purpose. Max Lucado's new book, not out yet, Help is Here. It's a book about the Holy Spirit. Max Lucado suggests that our own closest experience with the Holy Spirit is like a marriage. Just as the longer you are married to your spouse, the longer your relationship with the Holy Spirit may move from teacher to encourager, from leading you to simply reminding you. Early in your marriage, your spouse might have told you a few things. Remember that? But years later, your spouse only needs to remind you of something. Early in your marriage, your spouse may have had to teach you a few things or direct you in some task. Later in your marriage, your spouse needs only to encourage you and comfort you about those same tasks. You can do it, and you can do it well. The Lord's Holy Spirit is wanting to be in touch with you in many ways. And notice all the different ways that you can attend to the Holy Spirit. Notice all the ways you may need to be open to the Holy Spirit. Again, Max Lucado suggests the word sensitivity. Early in your marriage, you may have had trouble being sensitive to your spouse. Years later, it's second nature to be sensitive to your spouse. My older sister has said more than once, "Why would I want a different husband? It's taken years to train the one I have." It's taken time for my sister's husband to be sensitive to his spouse. My sister's marriage remains an ongoing relationship. And so it is with the Holy Spirit. Can you remember? If a pastor or any church member says, "I have the Holy Spirit," your response is, "So has everyone in the congregation. I have the Holy Spirit. So has everyone in the congregation." Amen.